Luke 24, we'll start reading in verse 13. We've been dealing with the heart for some time, and we're going to do that tonight as well. Luke 24, 13, this is post-resurrection. This is after the resurrection of Christ. And here's what the Bible said, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and that equates to about 8 miles. And verse 14, "And they talked together of all these things," and these things is referring to the cross, the crucifixion, the burial, and far as they knew, the absence of the Savior. They couldn't find him. His body wasn't in the tomb. And for some reason, they just couldn't grasp that he was alive. And so they were talking together of all these things which had happened. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself," that is in his resurrected body, "Jesus drew near." Let's get verse 15. "Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes," this is key right here, "their eyes were holden that they should not know him." He did that because he didn't want them to respond by sight. He didn't want them to respond to him based on what they saw. He said that's why they were in the shape they were in. They were responding at what they saw. They were looking at it as in mere observation. And Jesus wanted the Word of God to prick their heart, which we'll see in a moment. He goes on to say in verse 17, "And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem?" Now he's talking to Jesus. Of course, he don't know he's talking to Jesus. "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" Well, I wonder how many times we think Jesus is a stranger. We treat him as a stranger, not knowing what's going on when he knows better than we do. Verse 19, "And he said unto them, what things?" He's playing along with it. "What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests, and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted," I've got the ED on that word, I've got that underlined. That's past tense. "But we trusted that it would have been, that he," look at it, "but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us," keep in mind now, they're telling Jesus all this. "And yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished," which means to be put out of our wits, to astound, to be insane, to be beside ourselves. Faith don't cause you to do that. Faith doesn't cause you to do that. What their problem was is what caused them to do that. But he said here, verse 23, "And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." All right, now they've been talking to him now. Now he's taking over the conversation in the next verse. "Then he said unto them," now get this, let's get this in our mind. They think he's just a stranger, just somebody walking in the same direction on the same road. And they're spilling their beans, their guts to him, so to speak, their emotion, their turmoil, their discouragement, their devastation. They're just pouring it all out to him. And you'd have thought that this stranger would be sympathetic, and he's fixing to light them up. And he's lighting them up, and they still don't know who it is. Look what he says to them. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You think their eyes probably got about big as 50-cent pieces right there? When this stranger, they thought, is saying to them, you fool, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you love to hear that message? And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And we'll save the rest of this passage maybe for another message that the Lord's working on our heart, because it does talk about their heart again in verse 32, when they testified, did not our hearts burn within us? So we'll be dealing with that one hopefully maybe in the future. But I'm interested, you can be seated. I'm interested in verse number 25, where the scripture says, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So I never have preached on that. I've never really studied it. I've never really meditated on it. What does slow of heart mean? What's behind that? I mean, it's very clear here, I believe, that Jesus is testifying here, though they don't know who he is, they're testifying to the fact that the reason you're falling apart and the reason you are in the shape you're in here, he's talking to them, is because of your heart being slow to believe. And I think that very statement there kindly explains what it means. Slow of heart to believe. And I was thinking, even getting ready this evening for church tonight, and I was meditating on these verses coming home today, and it spoke to my heart that a slow heart or one slow of heart is only in spiritual things. He said, you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? But I got to thinking, they were slow to believe the scripture, but they were not slow to believe the situation and the circumstance and what they thought happened. What they thought happened was a tragedy. What they thought happened on the cross should have been prevented. And they were all beat up over it and down in the dumps because of it. And but now they were not slow to quit. They were not slow to leave Jerusalem and to go home. They were not slow in that area. That's how you can identify if you have a slow heart. Is it slow to believe the word? Is it slow to act in faith? Or is it quick to quit? Oh my, isn't that something? I want us to look back. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this. I'm just going to give you some things to think about. That is, if I can get it out, my voice will cooperate with me. Verse 13, if you look at it. And behold, two of them went Look at this next. Look at this in light of the term slow. And two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. They quit that day. Because that Emmaus is where they lived. Brother Randy, that's where they lived from all the layout of this passage. That's where they lived. They didn't even wait 3 days to see if he's going to get up. As soon as they got the report that he's not in the tomb and we don't know where he's at, and you know, and some of the ladies saw a vision of angels, well, they quit that day and went home. I thought that slow of heart ain't too slow right there, is it? If you want to write something down, just write this down. They were not slow to make an unscriptural decision. That's the evidence of a slow heart, is that a slow heart is quick to make unscriptural decisions. Boy, I've done that, haven't you? Make quick decisions based on what you thought happened when it wasn't even so. My goodness, wrong decisions comes from a slow heart because it'll be unscriptural decisions. It'll be decisions to walk away. Look, and of course, the wrong decisions that come about in verse 13 produces next, if you're writing down number 2, it produces wrong directions. Wrong decisions always births wrong directions. Well, wrong direction for them was that they were leaving Jerusalem, which is a type of the will of God and a type of God, a place of God's will for your life. Jerusalem speaks of that. And they left that day and departed to a village called Emmaus. And evidently, the way it's laid out here in this passage, that's where they lived. According to verse 28, they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he was going to go on further, which means it looks like they was going into a house. They was just going into where they stayed. They were going in where they lived, and he was going on, or acting like he was going to go on. And then another thing that indicates that they lived there was that they asked him to stay with them because it was getting late in the day, and he asked them to stay. They asked him to stay, and he went in with them in verse 29. And then, of course, he went in to eat with them in verse 30. And so it's evident there that they not only lived there, but somebody in there was cooking. And many believe that this was Cleophas and his wife were the two disciples that were going home. You can't prove that, actually, that it was his wife. Some commentators says they believe that it was Luke with him leaving and walking away and all that. But I don't know. We don't know who the other one is. We do know what they were doing. They made a wrong decision. They made a hasty decision in verse 13 because of a slow heart to believe what the prophets had said, what the Word of God said. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you're slow to believe this, you're going to make some wrong decisions in life. Our decisions in life ought to be brought into check with truth. They didn't. When Jesus exposed to them, starting in verse 25, when he told them all about what the prophets had said and began at Moses and preached unto them about those things concerning himself, they didn't even know those things. They were making a wrong decision because they didn't know the Scripture. Amen. Well, God showed me something. I'll get to it in a moment, maybe. The Lord will help me. So a wrong decision in verse 13 causes a wrong direction. A wrong direction. Starts out small, but it gets bigger, don't it? The wrong decision happened where they were standing, but the wrong direction took them 8 miles out of the will of God. Look, if you will, in verse 14 and 15. Not only do you see in verse 13 a wrong decision and wrong directions, and all this comes out of a slow heart. If they had believed the Bible, If they had believed the word of God, they would have never done that. Y'all pray for my boys. Huh? No, I don't know if I could do that or not. It was this bad last night, but it cleared up a little bit. Anyway, there's the wrong direction that comes from a wrong decision. And then here, look at this, verse 14 and 15, there is wrong discussions. The wrong discussions that comes from a slow heart. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And he says to them in verse number 17, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? So the slow heart is surfacing. It's showing itself. Now keep in mind, this is a key point that summarized the whole message, Brother Ben, and that is the slow heart is only in the spiritual realm. It's quick in the other. It's quick in a carnal direction. It's quick to quit. It's quick to make wrong decisions. It's quick to go in the wrong direction. It's quick to talk wrong discussions. Jesus is listening, and he asks them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? They didn't say they were sad. How did he know they were sad? I believe their talk revealed it, and I believe their countenance revealed it. And Jesus, I think it's worth noting that Jesus noticed and noted their sadness. Jesus knows when we're sad. And I want you to notice this. Jesus is not condoning it. Jesus is not condoning it. There's nothing spiritual about sadness, and I've been sad far too long. Way too much of my Christian life has been given to sadness. Look, if you will, in verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. That word reasoned means to jointly examine or investigate or to discuss. So let's get the picture. Here they are. They're being controlled by a slow heart, and they're walking away from God's will, away from Jerusalem. They're headed back home, and they're discussing what happened. They're examining, apart from the scriptures, get that. They're not saying one time, well, now the Bible says, you know, there's Old Testament prophecies that told us that Jesus not only was coming, but why he was going to come and that he was going to die. Not once. A slow heart ain't worried about the scriptures. A slow heart is discussing and examining and investigating things from the natural man's point of view. They examined the circumstances and the situation without bringing the evidence of the scriptures into view. Now, how many of us have done that? How many of us have discussed and examined and investigated a situation or a circumstance in our life and never one time saying, well, now what does the Bible say about this matter? You know, what does the scripture say about this? See, that's the way a slow heart operates. And keep in mind, this is worth, Lord just reminded me, keep in mind these two were followers of Christ. These were not lost people. These were saved people that were being guilty of being controlled by a slow heart. Amen. I wrote this down, or I didn't write it. I thank God for a voice text. Amen. When it can understand what I'm saying. A case cannot be decided on opinions. Even in the court of law today, a case cannot be decided with opinions and feelings. Well, I think, Judge, I feel like it's this way, or I felt like that happened. Well, they'll throw you out of the courtroom. Why? They're wanting nothing but facts and evidence and that is related to the case. But not once did they bring up the facts of the Scripture. So let's move on. So we've got a wrong decision, verse 13. We got a wrong direction in verse 13. We've got a wrong discussion that's taking place. And then we have, for lack of a better term, verse 17, Jesus ends verse 17 by making the statement, "You're sad. You are sad." And I just wrote down the word downcast. A slow heart produces a downcast condition. When we're sad, how many times we've been sad? Amen. And we never, in fact, the truth is, they attempted to justify their sadness. When he said, "Why are you sad?" immediately they started saying, "Are you a stranger? Do you not know what's happened?" And then they commenced telling him what happened, as if to tell this stranger that if you'd have been here and saw this, you'd be sad too. And so they're justifying their sadness. They're excusing their downcast condition. All right, look at this. Of course, I've already mentioned it, but I just want to make you aware of the fact that it still plays into this unfolding story of a slow heart. Look at verse number 19. Verse number 19. "And he said unto them, What things?" And look at what they said. "And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed," and listen to this, "and word, before God and all the people." And I, that word mighty means, they said, they were the ones that said it. "Oh, he was a, you should have known him." They were talking to him, but they didn't know it. You should have known him. "Oh, he was a prophet mighty indeed." And that word mighty means, oh, you should have seen him. He was able, he was powerful, he was strong, he was a mighty man. That's what the word mighty means. He was mighty in the area of deeds, which means business, work, labor, acts, or doing. He said, "You ought to see him. He is mighty in deed and in word." But watch this right here. They never got none of it. And we've seen this, I don't know how many times we've already been dealing with the heart. Every single case, they should have known better. But they weren't getting it. They weren't getting the spiritual truth. The slow of heart is quick in the wrong direction, but slow in the scriptural direction. Boy, I don't know if we're getting this or not. I hope we are, because I can relate to it, and I think most of us in here can. When my heart is not spiritual and it's slow, it's slow, it's hesitant to believe the Bible and to lean on the Scripture and to draw strength from the Scripture and get support from the Scripture. I'm quick to believe what I'm looking at and what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling, as they were. And this particular point is, they had wrong discernment. They didn't discern him in front of them. They didn't discern him talking to them. And they testified that Jesus was a prophet mighty indeed in word. before God and all the people. So they evidently saw those things and they evidently heard those things. But you know what? They didn't get a one. They didn't get none of it. They didn't get it. It was like water on a duck's back. Just, you know why? Because that wasn't what they were interested in. They weren't interested in a Savior that was going to be crucified. They weren't interested in a Savior that was going to die and be buried and rose again. All they were interested in was a physical Savior that was with them physically and visibly and met every one of their needs. And I wonder if we're not guilty of that likewise. And still, they didn't know it. We have formed our opinions and images about Christ in our mind, whether they're scriptural or not. Listen, they had an image of Christ in their mind that they had formed by watching Him and hearing Him, but they did not know the scriptures about Him. They didn't know about His purpose. They didn't know what the plan was or anything. So it brought about a lack of discernment. And I believe churches today are falling absolutely apart because of that. We can't discern what Christ is doing. And we're seeing that in our study on the troubled heart as well. We're seeing that same thing. They fell all to pieces because they were not seeing the spiritual side of Christ's mission. All right, let's move on. And I wrote this down. It's just like us. We form our opinions and images in our mind about Christ. And when He steps out of the of our little box and He does something that we don't think He should have done, we fall all to pieces. Because instead of having a scriptural image of Christ, we formed our own opinion and we've got Him in our little box and He's basically serving us. Amen. Even to the point that we don't really know the real Jesus of the Bible. He was walking and talking with them, but they thought He was a stranger. Here's something else it produces. We're about done. Listen to this. A slow heart not only causes wrong decisions, wrong directions, wrong discussions. What was the other one? Wrong discernment. Wrong discernment. But it also brings about doubt. Look what they said. Look what they said. Verse 21. But we trusted. We really believed back then that it had been He that should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. I mean, they're in terrible shape because they're given to doubt. And the Lord give this to me. I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to my heart about it. Doubt is fueled by these three areas, and they're evident right here. Doubt is fueled, first of all, by the obvious. And I wrote that beside verse 20. These two are given a report of the circumstance, of the situation. They're given the report to Jesus, though they don't know it's Him. And look what they said in verse number 20. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. That's all that happened on the cross according to their report. Well, you know, He was mighty indeed, but I tell you, I don't know what happened. Chief priests and rulers delivered Him, condemned Him, and killed Him. So here we are. You know what fuels doubt? The obvious. That is just looking on something and making an assessment based on what seems to be obvious. You know what God spoke to me about, Brother Carroll? A lot of times the obvious may not be accurate. In other words, there may be more taking place than what we imagine. What was the obvious? Well, the chief priests and rulers delivered him up to, condemned him and killed him. That's what we saw happen. Not once did they say, you know what? This was supposed to happen. This was ordered of God. This is prophesied from Moses on, all the way through. Not once did they say that. I say unto you again, doubt, which comes grows out of a slow heart to believe. Doubt is fueled by the obvious, sight living. They only knew what they had observed. And I want to tell you, and I'm learning this myself, still yet, if we let what we observe in life influence us, lead us, control us, we're going to be defeated just like they were. And I've done it, and I'm sick of how much of my Christian life has been spent to that, been given to that. Doubt, the obvious. The obvious, amen? They didn't know the depths of the Scripture about the Savior. They didn't know the Jesus of the Old Testament. They didn't know, all they was looking at was Jesus is our buddy, our pal, our friend, and we think he's the king, and he's supposed to redeem Israel, and not what happened, but it's all fell apart. They killed him. Can you see that now in light of the fact they're quitting, they're going home, they're down in the dumps, they're sad? All right, let's move on. The obvious fuels doubt. Doubt grows out of a slow heart to believe what the Bible says. Amen. And you know, I believe this is the reason that the term obvious that I'm dealing with, I believe that's the reason that Jesus made sure that their eyes were holding. I believe He made that happen, Brother Bill, to where they would have to listen to him instead of look at him. Had they known him, Sister Susan, had they known him, would they have been excited? Yes. Would they have been stirred up? Absolutely. But you know what would have happened? It would have been just superficial or surface, just like before the crucifixion. But Jesus wanted them to be stirred by the Word of God. And so he made sure their eyes were holding to where they did not respond to him based on what they saw, but based on what they heard. Amen. He wanted them to respond to the inspiration of the Word rather than to the revelation of his presence. And look what happened. He goes right into verse 25. And he talks about, then said he unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he began at Moses and the prophets and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They still didn't know who he was. But he was laying the word on them. And look what, I'm going to jump ahead to the next message, just give you a second here. Look at it, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we saw him? No, don't say that, does it? It says, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? In other words, Brother Craddock, they're saying right here, our hearts went from slow heart to a burning heart because we responded to the Word of God. If you get stirred up about the Word of God, the obvious won't be in control of our lives. We won't be going off, well, this we've seen this happen, or we think this is happening, you know, or we imagine this is happening, when it may not be the truth. May be more to it than that. All right, so the obvious fuels doubt. Number two, the second thing that fuels doubt, I'm almost done, look at this. The Lord spoke to my heart about that. this and that. Not only the obvious, but the opinions. Opinions. Look what it says. Verse 22. Of course, they admitted there in verse 21, we trusted in the past, but that indicates we're not trusting now. We trusted, but we're not trusting now. They had a collapse of faith. That's what happens when you live based on what seems to be obvious or visible or apparent. Verse 22, yea, and certain women of our company made us astonished. They're listening to somebody else talk. Boy, if you want to get in a mess, you let that be one of your guiding rules in life. Just listen to somebody else talk. Huh? Lord, help us, that's right. And so he's telling them here, these certain women also of our company, they made us astonished, insane, beside ourselves, put out of our wits, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And it's evident they don't believe it. In fact, they're downplaying the fact that they actually saw angels. They're actually saying, well, they just saw a vision of angels. I mean, this slow heart to believe will kill you spiritually and will kill a church spiritually. A slow heart to believe all that what the Bible says versus what is obvious and what is the opinions. So, to them, Christ only operated in the realm of what they thought he was and what others reported about it and what others said. Right here is supposed to be. I'm sad to say that it's probably not in most of us, including myself. There's been many times this right here wasn't the driving force in my life. That's why my faith fell apart. And that's why I was given to doubt, and that's why I was given to sadness, and that's why I was given to opinions. Well, these ladies come back, and here's what they said. We didn't see it. I didn't see it. I've not seen him. I didn't see no angels. But here's what they said. A slow of heart to believe. Amen. And of course, with that, a third one is doubt is fueled not only by the obvious and opinions. Somebody said opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. Somebody else said it's like opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got at least two and they both stink. Opinions take with a grain of salt. Listen to it. Amen. But if it don't line up with this right here, and by the way, you ought to know this book enough to know that when you hear something, if it agrees with this. If you see something, if it agrees with this. Amen. And so anyway, there you go. There you go. Slow of heart. And I've never studied. I told you earlier, I've never studied on that. It's never stuck out to me. Slow of heart. But I believe what the next statement says on the following that explains it. They're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And of course, it continues all the way through from Moses and on through. I don't want to be guilty of a slow heart, do you? I have been guilty of that. You know, if they had known the scripture, if they had known the scriptures, they wouldn't have fell apart when Christ was crucified because they would have known that was a part of God's plan. Amen? And when they got the report that he's not there, nobody's found his body, Brother Scott, they'd have said, well, of course. He's going to be in the ground 3 days and three nights. He's going to be in the heart of the earth. He's going to be buried, but he's going to rise again. He even said himself, you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. Of course, yeah. I mean, listen, all this is going according to plan. All this is happening. But no, they're falling all to pieces because they do not know the Scripture. Did not Jesus say on one occasion, you do err not knowing the Scripture? What about when he, and y'all know this, when he comes and he's dealing with the people after the resurrection, he's dealing with them, Mary and the ladies at the tomb, and they didn't know him either. They thought he was the gardener. They didn't go to the tomb expecting to find a living Savior. They expected to find him still wrapped, you know, and laid there in the tomb. They still expected that. In fact, they were so convinced that they were not convinced, and really is a better way, they were not convinced that he was going to be alive. That when they went and found not his body, they accused people, tell us where you've put him. Tell us where you've laid him. They still had it in their thick head that he's dead. He's not in the tomb because somebody stole him. Somebody took his body and laid it somewhere else. Tell us where he's at. Slow of heart to believe. Jesus told them several times, even, and I'll just turn because I got that already marked. In Luke 20, Luke 24, when Jesus was dealing with those ladies at the tomb, and the angel said in verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. The next word says, remember. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet with you in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And the Bible said, and they remembered. You know why they're falling apart? They completely forgot the Bible. And they forgot the Scripture, and they forgot what Jesus had said, and they was operating off of observation, what was obvious. They were operating off of opinions, and they were operating off of others, what others are doing. But when they got their heart burning, all that turned around, didn't it? And it happened because of the Word of God. Amen? Well, praise the Lord, I made it through it. It was questionable there a time or two, I'll be honest with you. Goodness. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. Our Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to be here tonight. And I want to thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And I hope, Lord, that I was able, Lord, to be able to explain what the slow heart meant. And it's not good. And it's slow. In the spiritual realm, it's slow concerning the Scriptures. It's slow concerning faith and believing. But Lord, it's quick. It's quick to make wrong decisions. It's quick to go in wrong directions. It's quick. A slow heart is quick to have wrong discussions that agrees with a slow heart, that is fueled by the slow heart. Lord, it has wrong discernments. It can't discern. It can't discern Christ. And Lord, I ask you to speak to us, Lord. And Lord, then it's full of doubt. Lord, it's full of doubt. And I wonder how many of us, Lord, many times, as your people even, are given to doubt, doubting you. Doubting you, and when a situation happens, we look at it just simply from an observation standpoint, and we make an assessment based on what we think and what others are saying and how others are feeling and what we're feeling. And Lord, most of the time, we're nowhere close to the truth. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to realize the danger and the damage of a slow heart. May we not have that. May we, if we're going to reverse it, we need to reverse it. We need to be slow of heart to believe what we see and what we hear and the opinions and all of that, and yet be quick. Reverse it and to be quick to believe the Bible, quick to believe the Scripture, quick to run to the Scripture for our help. Lord, may you take the message tonight and speak to us with it and through it. And may we meditate more on it even. What you do for us, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.